Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, hi! How are you? You guys good today? So we've been going through Ephesians. Oh man, it's been good, huh? And as I'm studying Ephesians, it is intense. Like, I had such a deep study time that my brain literally hurt. Then I walked out of the room and I went to go talk to my husband about some of the things in the word that I was reading. And then he took me to another level and I'm like, stop, I need a break. Doesn't it say that too much studying can weary the soul? Like, but because it was so good, it's so good. So as soon as everybody's done talking, we'll get into it. Come on girls, you can talk after. Oh, yeah, they don't have their snacks? Yeah, you can go ahead and start eating, girls. You can chat it up and you can eat afterwards, but you can eat during the message. I will not be offended. I do not blame you. But this is what I am going to ask. For the girls, can we lower these lights? I can't even see, like, the people that I'm trying to talk to. The girls that are, like, have your backs turned to me, I don't want to be a pain in your neck. Okay, so why don't you flip your chair at least sideways or around so that you don't have to be annoyed the whole time. Be like, that Pastor Jess, she's such a pain in the neck. So, okay, awesome. All right. Well, do I sound loud? Am I loud? I feel like I'm so loud. Okay, I'm not used to this room. The like acoustics is like something to be desired. But it's good for Pastor Jess to be in here to realize that our speakers are blown in here. So listen, we need to fix that. Okay. So what do you want from today? What if I asked you that question? What did you want? If you came to church and I said, what do you want from God today? What would be your answer? Somebody shout some things out to me. God's blessing. Ooh, I like that one. Learn something new to talk to you. Anyone else? Confirmations? So that's a good one. Somebody's like, nothing. You want peace from God? Yes, peace is a good one, especially nowadays. Anyone else? Be more like him. All right. Well, today, the title of the message, and if you're taking notes, I suggest you do. It says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Now, the Christianese answer would be like, I'm a daughter of God, right? But sometimes, you guys are too loud. I can't preach over you. So if you want to preach, you can get up here. But you got to be respectful of the word right now. Because the word is going forth and you need to have ears to hear and hearts to receive. You can talk to each other later. Okay? Sorry, I had to become mom right now. Be quiet, because I have something to say, because God wants to speak. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. So we're going to just pray. So that way we could just have a moment, even though we've prayed a lot. Lord, speak to us. Lord, don't let this be a distraction, the tables and the food. But Lord, let our hearts be hungry after you right now, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would do something new inside of us today and that you would speak a word that would change us, that would mold us, that equip us to be the daughters you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today, the message today is, who do you think you are? You know, many times the world wants to identify us or label us. Can you turn this one off too? This is really bugging me. And you are identified by maybe the race you are, maybe your age. You know, maybe you're identified by, I don't know, your personality. Oh, she's so bold. Or, oh, she's real timid and quiet. Have you ever been labeled by people? And then all of a sudden you feel a little like, I'm more than just that. You know, that's my outer appearance or my character. But do we really understand who we are in Christ? Do we really understand what we were made for, who we were made for, and what God has for us as an individual? Many times as women, we pour ourselves out into our families. We pour ourselves out for everyone else and for everything else. But sometimes I feel like women won't stop enough to just say, who am I? What are my desires? What do I look like? What are my thoughts and my ideals? And what is it that if somebody were to ask me, ask yourself this question. If you could have one gift today, what would the gift be? Peace of mind. a lot of times it'll be feeling, just rest. Sometimes, you know, you just want to be alone, right? Like, I was supposed to have a Tuesday alone. I was so excited about it. And then my husband decided to change his plans. And he stayed home, and I was like, okay. And halfway through the day, I stopped being mad at him for being home. Because I had planned, oh, I'm going to clean, and no one's going to get in my way. Like, I'm going to get stuff done. I'm not answering the phone. I'm not answering texts or emails. I'm going to pretend like I'm lost. You know, do you ever dream, like, I wish I could run away and never come back? Well, you know, sometimes we have that opportunity to get away into the Word of God. And I believe that's our time here at Women Rock, is to just get away. This is a you time. This is your time, girls. So sit back, relax. No babies are crying and screaming. No husbands are walking in here asking you for something. No jobs are calling you. Put your phone, turn them off if you have to, and handwrite your notes. Because if you need to do whatever you need to do to press in, to find out who it is God has created you to be, let's do that today. Let's be who God's asked us to be. So we have gone through Ephesians. We talked about grace and peace and blessing. Do you remember that? In chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And then Dr. Vanessa so beautifully talked about the adoption and the process of God. And then the next part of that was the keys to the kingdom. My Pastor Deborah, the three-part series that she did, where God and earth and how he reconciled all things back to him and who we are. We are kingdom-minded creatures. What a beautiful time we've had in the journey of Ephesians. And as I went to the next verses, I was blown away by them. So let's read them real quick. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. We're only going to stay in those two verses today. And it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I want to point some things out in this verse. Number one, to him, in him, the purpose of him, the counsel of his will, in Christ, and the praise of his glory. Five times he is mentioned in this verse, in these two verses. But yet, all of it is referring to our inheritance. So our inheritance is him. So if our inheritance is connected to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created, who blew and created the universe, the one who knows every hair on our head, the one knows every emotion and deep secret of our heart, that's who we're connected to. That's who God is talking to us about. That's what God wants to teach us today. We are a part of him because we are his. Just like when I married Dan, I was a Cobra, and I'll tell you something. I had the hardest time changing my name. I was like proud to be a Cobra. Like I loved being a Cobra. And I was like, I'm not changing my name. And he's like, oh, you will change your name. Then I got my dad in on it. And he's like, no, I think you should change your name. And Dan's like, and my dad even got like business cards made that said Dan Cobra or Daniel Cobra. So my dad, Dan got business cards made. And he returned to me and said, the Roth Church. Yeah, and they were like joking because they both did not want me to change my last name. But Dan wanted me to change my name. My dad did not want us to change my name. It was a big joke, right? And how many of us girls have felt that? Do you remember when you got married and you're like, I'm not changing my name. Like, this is all I've known. That does that mean I have to walk away from who I love the most? Because I love you, but I love them too. But no, the coolest thing about it was I changed my name. I was part now of a new family, the Roth side. And now I got to be married to my mother-in-law, like, amen. And now I get the inheritance of both sides. I get the benefit of both families. I get the blessings of both families. So guess what? I increased because I added on to what my inheritance was. Now it's greater. Think about now when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are now adopted in like we learned and we now have a new kingdom mentality and we change. What more do we take on? How much more are we a part of? How much more do we not even realize that we have, that we haven't tapped into, that it's truly who we are and who we've been formed to be. So today, that's what we're going to learn about. We're going to learn about who we are. So what are these verses saying about us? Pastor Michelle, in one of my pockets in my purse, excuse me, it's a little messy. No, inside the side pockets. I have a ring. It's like a ring box. And I need that because, nope. We're cleaning my purse out in front of all of you guys. It's white. It might be the other side. There we go. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're talking about inheritance today. And what are these verses saying about us? Number one, I want you to repeat this after me. I am a Christ kid. Sometimes we don't feel like that, right? Sometimes I don't feel like I'm a Christ kid. Sometimes I feel like I'm a hot mess. You know, I woke up this morning, I took a sleeping pill last night because I have not been sleeping for days. And I walked downstairs a little lethargic. I sat on the couch and my daughter's like, wow, are you okay? I've not seen you like this before. And I'm like, really? Is it that noticeable? And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I took a sleeping pill to try and help me sleep. And now I can't wake up. And she's like, maybe you shouldn't do that, Mom. You know, sometimes we don't look like a Christ kid on the outside, right? Sometimes, have you ever said something and you're like, that was so ungodly? Like, I'm mad at myself now because I was doing so good. So I'll tell you a little confession 101 of a pastor, right? We were moving in a week. And I was doing really good that whole week. And then the day of the move, I snapped. And so I got in a fight with my sister. Then I got in a fight with my dad, like old school, like when I was a teenager fight. And then all my kids are sitting there like, oh my gosh, is this the things, the stories you were telling us about? And then I call my husband. I'm like, I don't even like you. You didn't even help me move. And you know, I walked away from that day going, stupid Jess. Like that was totally not who I am anymore. That's old nature. And I allowed her to sneak out and I allowed her to be in control of my personality and my attitude. I allowed other people to get to me because remember, it's not their fault I'm mad. It's my fault I'm mad because they spit on you, right? But they just make you wet. They don't make you mad. You get mad that they spit on you. So you can control you. Control you, baby girl. Control you. And so I did not control me. I was no longer acting like a Christ kid. In fact, I'm sure God was like, oh, great. You know, like, seriously, get your stuff together down there. What are you doing? You know, so you're having these moments and you go, I just don't even recognize myself anymore because this is not the godly side of who I should be. So all of us have been there. In Ephesians, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ means we are heirs. That's the beginning of this verse says in him. So you don't obtain an inheritance, listen to me, in your earthly father. Maybe he let you down. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he's obsolete. Maybe you don't understand your family dynamic and it's been a mess your whole life and you don't know where you belong. Maybe you're adopted and you've always had this feeling of like, I don't know where I come from and who I'm a part of. Well, let me tell you right now, in him, you are a part of a kingdom and his name is Jesus and that's who you are and that's what you're in and that's where you came from originally. And your parents are on loan to you. And whether they do a good job or a bad job, they'll have to answer to God for that. But ultimately, you're his daughter. Ultimately, you're his kid. Ultimately, you will answer heaven. And you will have to go before the throne room and talk to your father about your life. You see, in him, you are. In him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. I love that. In him means that we are heirs. That's kind of an old school word. We don't hear that word often. An heir. I'm an heir of the Cobra family. You know, like you hear about those dynasties, you know, and they're heirs of this king and this queen. I love watching those old school, you know, movies about Queen Victoria and all those things. And it's just a whole nother world, you know. We don't live in that world. But we do live in the kingdom world. We do live in Christ's world. We are Christ's kids. That means we're heirs. In the Greek, it's sankilomoros, which means with a lot to process. I am a king's kid with a lot to possess. Whoa, 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 wait a second. It means that you are a king's kid with a lot to possess. I don't have anything, Pastor Jeff. Like if you looked at my bank account, there's not much there. I'm not talking about your earthly possessions. I'm talking about kingdom possessions. There's things in the kingdom that God has gifted to his children, but yet we have not even begun to tap into what it is that he has for us. But yet we're heirs, so I want to know now, what is mine in this inheritance? You know, you've heard stories about people getting an inheritance and they get a letter from the randomest people. I read this one story where he met his uncle one time and he was in his 50s. He got a letter in the mail and his uncle had left him so much money that he became the richest man in his whole country from one conversation. He never knew his uncle. I read another story about a lady who gave over $10 million to her dog. The dog inherited $10 million. Her kids were mad. Right? Would you be? I'd be mad. I would not be godly at that moment. This is what God is saying. If those are earthly inheritances, those are tangible, things you can touch, things that you can obtain, but how much more on the supernatural kingdom mentality kind of inheritance is God talking about here? That means that when you walk the streets, every devil in hell knows who you are and he's afraid of what you carry, because you now carry, you are an heir of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are an heir of the supernatural power and the ability of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, so many times we don't even see ourselves as heirs. But repeat with me, I am a Christ kid. In Romans 8:17, it says, and if then heirs, so if we're then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, let's stop there. What? That does not sound like a fun thing to be inheriting. I don't want to inherit suffering. But guess what? He did it for you. He suffered on that cross. He took your sin and shame. He took everything that generational curse. Do you see it in your families? Can you pinpoint it and go, where is this coming from? It's a generational curse that has to be broken. But he died on that cross and you could take authority over it to break it. You see, when you begin to understand that you're an heir of these things and you have power and dominion over these things, something begins to change in your thinking. Something begins to change in your step a bit. Something begins to change that the outside no longer is as important as the inside. And that if I'm a king's kid and I'm saying things out of my mouth that don't line up with what the word of God is saying, then I need to switch some things in my life. I need to start acting like a king's kid. I can't go to a queen in a palace and in a castle dressed like this. Right? You go, oh, that's pretty nice. Listen, San Bernardino, no, it's not. Like, we would have to. We would have to do layers. We would have to be very covered up. We would have to not show our shape. And then when we go to her, we have to honor her. We have to bow in her presence. You see what I'm saying? There's another level of respect for who we are as heirs. There's another level of gratitude that is given when we're heirs. You see, you are now an heir of royalty. So if you are then an heir of royalty, and God is saying that if you suffer, he suffers and you will suffer. Well, you will suffer, but check this out. I love this, what it says. You will suffer with him, that you will also be glorified together. So your suffering doesn't come without the blessing of God on it afterwards. Sometimes you'll get through some of your suffering moments and think, what was that about? And if you look back and you held on to Jesus through it, you'll go, man, I made it through that and I made it through stronger. And you know what? No weapon formed against me prospered and nobody got the upper hand. God was my defender. I made it through and I was not singed. I was not burned. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. Look at David against the Goliath. Come on, girls. What are your battles? What are you facing? Because as an heir to the king, as a Christ kid, your suffering, you may not understand it, but you hold on to who your Father in heaven is and who you're connected to, and you can make it through it, and you can begin to tell those things that have overcome you for so long, that have stolen days from you and sleep from you and family from you, to go to hell, that you're not going to play games in my head any longer, because I'm a daughter of the King. I'm going to take my ground back. My body might feel this way, but my word, my Father in heaven said, I'm healed. healed by the stripes on the cross. So I understand that the doctors have to tell me what they have to tell me, but I understand what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says for me to pray for healing, and I'm going to believe for the impossible. You see, it takes you to a new level of faith because you know who your Father is, because you are in Him, because you are connected as an heiress to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, and you are untouchable. You will suffer, but you will make it through, and you will be bigger and greater on the other side, and He will get all the glory for you. He will get all the glory from you. All the glory is His. I love that. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Here's Abraham. Abraham, the father of faith. And it says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out, listen to this, not knowing where he was going. But he knew that there was something for him. He knew that there was an inheritance to go be consumed and taken, and listen, to possess. What are you not possessing? Because you haven't stepped out in faith as a daughter of God. You see, God wants us to possess a new inheritance, something that only God can give you. By faith, He dwelt in this land of promises as in a foreign country, which was suffering, guys. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, listen to that, the heirs with Him of the same promise. Today, you are in this room with your kingdom sisters. You are in this room with your fellow heiresses. You are in this room because you are believers of the Most High God, because you are Christ's children right now. And together, you have each other. They had each other. They dwelled in tents. They were waiting for their inheritance. They believed in the God, verse 10, for He waited for the city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, God is your builder. He's your maker in your life. He's the one who says, you're my daughter, and I want you to understand, who are you? Who are you? Your answer is, I am a king's kid. Number two, say, I've inherited the kingdom. You have inherited a kingdom. You didn't just inherit something small, like someone's old dingy wardrobe when they left and they didn't clean it up before they died or something. No, you inherited the kingdom of heaven. It is at your disposal. It is at your fingertips. It is available for you to take a hold of. I love it in Ephesians 11. It says that in Him we have obtained, that means to take a hold of, an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose. Inheritance is for people that don't know God. Oh, that was a trick question. No, an inheritance is for the heirs of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to leave someone something that I worked hard for my whole life to somebody I don't know. I'm going to leave it to my kids. I'm going to leave it to my church. I'm going to leave it to kingdom mentality people that can be trusted with something I've worked hard for. I'm not going to go give it to somebody who will throw it away and not even put any value in it. You see, God knows who you are. He's developing your heart. He's developing your character. He's developing your mindset. It's not going to be anything as the world says, girls. It's going to be a complete opposite mindset. And if you can grab a hold of those kingdom principles and those kingdom mindsets, you can take a hold of this inheritance that we've been promised. I'll tell you a story. My grandma, I loved my grandma. How many of you knew my Nana Ellen? She was a wonderful woman, and I wish I had a picture of her behind me. But she was quirky. If you knew my grandma, she danced all the time. She had a glass of wine every night, and she danced for my grandpa who had died before. And she loved my dad. Like, you couldn't have a conversation without, how's your dad? How's your dad doing? She just talked to him. Like, I don't know. You probably know more than I do, Grandma. Like, I mean, this woman loved her kids. She loved her boys. She unapologetically, what is the word? Thank you. See? So tongue-tied her. She would tell us, I'm sorry, I like boys better than girls. And I would laugh. Because I'm not offended by that. Like, it's hilarious. She had two boys. She didn't get women. Like, it's okay, Nana. We still love you. So I just grew up knowing Luke was her favorite. And I never got asked if I wanted stew. Kim, did you get asked if you wanted stew? But Luke got stew every week. Like, I don't understand this. You know, maybe I need Breaking Free a little bit. Okay, so my grandma, she was a nut. So when my grandpa died, Nana wore cheetah print like every day. Because when my grandpa was alive, he's like, that is ugly. It's horrible. I hate it. You're not wearing it. So as soon as he died, man, her closet became like an animal. And so and she's a nut. My grandma's a nut. And so we would go visit Nana, and she had this beautiful ring, and she would tell this beautiful love story about my grandpa and her. They had a beautiful marriage. He loved her with all his heart. My grandfather was left alone, and he had no one. And when he found my grandma, she was just a treasure to him. And so he bought her this beautiful 1-carat diamond wedding ring. My grandma, many times, I would say, Grandma, like, what are you going to do with that when you die? Well, Kelly asked for it. Kelly's my cousin. And I'm like, okay. But Grandma, you don't really see Kelly. Like, I'm in your life every day. And she's like, Jessica, you can have my bracelet. Okay. But honestly, it didn't really matter to me because every time I'd ask her, every single time I saw my grandma, can you tell me the story about how Grandpa gave you the ring? Because it wasn't about the ring to me. It was about the love story behind the ring because I knew all the obstacles they had to go through to get married. I knew all the obstacles my grandma had to overcome herself. And, you know, she was a woman that was raised by a single mom with 9 children. Yeah. And the stories that I heard from them. And they were just this beautiful, amazing couple. And so this ring to me wasn't a diamond or gold. It represented a love, a beautiful love story that I loved listening to every time. Well, my grandma was on her deathbed and she was on hospice. And she did not know this, but my cousin Kelly ended up drowning in a pool and died. It was horrible. It was like a traumatic, like we just were shocked. And when she died, I didn't even think about the ring. You know, when grandma died, it was just a very sad time for us. And I didn't care if I got anything as long as I had my memories of my Nana and, you know, everything of my Nana. And my Uncle Gary told my parents, hey, you know what? Kelly was supposed to get the ring, but why don't you give this to Jess? And we'll take that bracelet. I'll give the bracelet to my other cousin. And so my mom and dad gave me this ring and I cried my eyes out because it wasn't about the ring, but this was my inheritance from my grandma. And today I went and asked Dan, can you go get the ring out of the safe? And I opened the box and there was a note in it that I'd never noticed before. It says, hi, Grandma. Thank you for having me and Luke over. I love you so much. You're the best. Don't forget. I think you're pretty. Love, Jess. Like, seriously? It wasn't about the inheritance of this ring. It was about the love that my grandma gave me. I inherited a grandma who loved me. A grandma who shaped me and molded me and helped me. A grandma who I always knew I could go to in a time of like brokenness. There were many times I went and had just private conversations with her. And you see, that was an inheritance on earth for me. She was a piece, a gem. She was special to me. How much more is the love of our Father, the beautiful gift of love, our inheritance? You may not have someone to hand you a ring. You may not get anything from someone who dies because it's not about the earthly. It's about the kingdom. It's about living to reach out for the kingdom of heaven and the inheritance of love and grace and mercy and the beautiful kingdom mentality that we are being gifted with to obtain in our inheritance. But girls, I've been holding on to this ring for a really long time. My Nana's been with Jesus for probably about, I don't know, how many years, Mom? Three years? I haven't done anything with this ring. What are we not doing with our inheritance? Are we not possessing it? You know what I'm going to do? As soon as I get a day off, I'm going to the jeweler's and I'm going to get this ring sized. And I'm going to use it as my wedding ring along with mine. And I'm going to join the two beautiful marriages together on my finger as a representation of my family. Because I want to do something with an inheritance that God gave me. But if we don't obtain, if we don't possess the inheritance that God has for us, we will never see the beauty of the majesty of God here on earth. In Psalms 33, 11 through 12, in the Passion Version, you know, listen, this is a paraphrase version, okay? But I loved how it said, his destiny plan for the earth stands sure. His forever plan remains in place and will never fail. That's the inheritance you're a part of. You can't fail when you serve God. Isn't that awesome? It's beautiful. Verse 12, blessed and prosperous is the nation who has God in as their Lord. They will be the people of his chosen for his own. You are chosen by God. Now, these verses in Ephesians were written for the Jewish people. But as we learned in the beginning of Ephesians, we were now as Gentiles adopted into the kingdom of God. We were grafted in. You remember Dr. Vanessa took that olive tree and said that there was a branch from one olive tree can be connected to another olive tree and it will begin to grow together and be woven together. We now get to possess the inheritance that God left for his chosen people, the Jewish people. But yet we as Gentiles now get to be a part of this inheritance. Just I'm now a part of the Roth family. Do you understand that we get to obtain and to possess this beautiful inheritance? This is big, girls. This is big. So when we see the Jewish nation in Israel, we have to stand by them. We have to pray for them. We have to be connected to them. My brother taught about it last night and his third trip in 15 months over to Israel. What a gift God has given him to be able to do that. And yet, we here as a church, we can't always be in Israel, but you know, you can pray for them because you're brother and sisters and they may not see you that way, but you know what? Pray that God will break through in their heart, that God will become amazingly open. You know, the Messianic Jewish people, they are awakening to the Spirit of God. They have a true revelation of Jesus, not just God, but Jesus. You see, we are connected. We are now walking in a new inheritance of Jesus Christ. Number three, you ready? Say it with me. I was planned ahead. Some of us were told you were a mistake. Some of us said you were just, you know, something that happened on a drunken night. I don't even know who your daddy is. Some of you don't even know where you came from because maybe you were adopted. You don't kind of know where your past is and you don't know anything. But let me tell you something. It does not matter where you came from. It's where you're going. And that, let me tell you this, you matter and you were planned ahead. Doesn't matter how you slipped into this earth. God needed you and he loved you and he has a plan for you. He thought about you and he knows what he has for you and you were planned ahead. Say, I was planned ahead. Let's go to that verse. Let's go to the next part of this verse in Ephesians 11, 12. And it says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. So now that we are heirs and we know that we have an inheritance, being predestined. You are predestined, which means you are determined beforehand. Listen to this, to be Christ-like. You are determined beforehand to be Christ-like. I love in Romans what it says. Romans 8, 28, if you want to turn there with me. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Not yours, right? Not your family line, not what generations before you have said, but to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That means set apart, pre-planned it to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, that's you, thought ahead of, made a plan for, these he also called. So you're called. Say, I'm planned and I'm called. That's good. Whom he called, these he also justified. Wait a second. You've been waiting for someone to justify some things in your life, but you can't look for that among men. He's the one that will justify your life. He will settle accounts. He will make a way. He will go before you. He will be the one who justifies you. So say, I'm called, I'm justified, I was planned. That's good stuff. And then it says, and he who has justified, these he also glorified. What? You're glorified? That's right. Because you're a king's kid. You are now, you know, you suffered with him and then you will have the glory of God with him. That means not your praises aren't going to go to you. but you are, you know, have you ever, I have three kids, and when my kids do something good and the teachers tell you, hey, you know, your kid was like really awesome today. Like they really went out of their way for somebody else. I'm really proud of them. And you know, it was almost like just a real blessing to me because it's not normal. That's a blessing to me as a mama, right? That is my kids are now glorified in the Roth name because they represented well. And they put a light in a dark place and they carried who they were in their circumstance. You see, you are King's kid. And when you do things God's way, and when you are called, and when you walk as an heiress who has inherited something to possess, all of a sudden you are walking in places you never went before. You are asking questions you never thought you would ask and finding answers to those questions. You are seeing things through God's eyes and you are no longer seeing them through worldly eyes or the way that you've been taught your whole life, but you're seeing them in a new way. You have to unteach yourself some things to teach yourself over again in the ways of God. You see, this is who God says. And when you become this king's kid, this heiress, somebody to inherit and to possess, and that you were planned ahead, all of a sudden, the glory of God comes upon you. And the love and his goodness radiates through you, and you become his hands and his feet. You see, you carry the goodness of God. I love that. That you are an ambassador of God's goodness. Say, I'm an ambassador of God's goodness. It's good. This message, if you hate yourself after this message, you got issues. Because this message is to say, oh, that's who I am. Let's go to 4. I want you to say this. I have a purpose. Ephesians 11:12 says, according that, oh, let's start in the beginning. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, that we are predestined, thought ahead, according to his purpose in him. Woo! Wait a second, I got a purpose? In the Greek, it's prosthesis, and sets forth before a place a deliberate plan. What? You have a deliberate plan. Did you know that? You are an intention of God. You are a design by God. You are an advanced plan by God. You were thought of. You have a purpose. He created you for himself. Our personal salvation was not only well planned, but demonstrates God's abiding faithfulness as he awaits the consummation of his great plan for his church. You see, your purpose is to carry out the plans of Jesus Christ in this broken and lost world. That's who you are, girls. That's what you're built for. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14. Can you go there with me? It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you. I love that right there. It's reiterating that you were planned ahead and that you were chosen. I love that. And for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in the truth. Verse 14, that which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining, for the taking a hold of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your purpose, girls, you need to be effective because you are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be effective means injurio. I don't even know how to speak Greek, so just bear with me. And it says, in work, an active operation. I want to be an active operation for the kingdom. I don't want to sit down and do nothing for God. I don't want to sit idly by and God says, come on. Have you ever had the kids and you're trying to get them ready for school and they're just like lagging? I mean, those are the days where you're throwing the backpacks in the car yourself and you're like, listen, your shoes are in the back seat. Like, just get in the car. Sometimes I wonder if God is like that with us. Like, come on, I've done it all for you. Can you just get on board and get going and get active in your purpose? Because you're sitting idly by with this incredible inheritance, with this incredible heir and who you are, but yet you're doing nothing with it. You're not acting out on who it is you are. You're not fulfilling the purpose that you were created for. What more could you be doing for God? What more could you be giving God? What more could we be surrendering our hearts on a daily basis before the throne room of God? What more could we be possessing for the kingdom of God and not for our own advancement? What more? What other reason and what other purpose is there in living and breathing and dwelling among him if we aren't doing something for the king? then we're people that are selfish and we just take for ourselves. But see, that's not the kingdom mentality we learned about from Pastor Deborah, right? That's not being humble. That's not being meek. That's not doing what God has asked us to do. That's a selfish mentality. That's a me type of purpose. And God is saying, don't be that. This is not about you. Your purpose is for me. Your purpose is to fulfill what I've called you to do. And that's to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus. How are we doing on time? We have a little bit more time, so I'll make it to point number 5. Are you getting something from God today? We're going to move to point 5. You ready? Repeat with me. I'm the celebration of his goodness. Ooh, that's good. Have you ever been a celebration for someone? No, I don't really know if I have. I mean, I know my husband celebrates me like, yay. Like when we first got married, you know, he was a virgin. I wasn't. I was a screw up. And I locked myself in the bathroom for like 3 hours because I was so scared. And he was like, come on, like pounding on the door. He was like celebrating me. He was so excited. He was married and I was the prize he was going to get. And I was just like, ah. This is the right way, God, and now I'm scared. But see, girls, you, just as Dan celebrates me as his wife, you are the celebration of God. You are the celebration of God's goodness and God's glory. You get to celebrate him on a daily basis. But do we? Or do we complain more than we celebrate? Do we worry more than we get in faith? Are we maybe like frustrated most of the day and then we catch ourselves and by the end of the day we're like, oh yeah, that's right, I'm a child of God. Oops. Kind of wasted my day with that one. Listen, I'm not saying this because I've got it all together. I'm saying this because I'm preaching to the choir right here. I'm preaching to myself. We all need to get better at being the celebration of God's glory and God's goodness because that's what he deserves. That's why I love that song so much. The praise is yours, the praise is yours. That's what that song says. Ephesians 1:12 says that we who first trusted in Christ, listen, we were the ones that heard our father's cry and we answered it. Go back to your first love, the word of God says. Those who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. Should be the praise of his glory. To be the praise of his glory. What does praise mean? Hold on, where's my notes? Hold on 1 second. Praise is not only for what God has done for us, but who he is. It's not what he can do for you, but it's who he is. Recognizing his glory. The celebration of his manifested goodness is what you carry. You celebrate the manifested goodness of God's glory. Sometimes that's just a laugh out loud moment you need. So this is what we're going to do. My dad does this and I love it. Say ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. Ha, ha, ha. You're not doing it. Come on, do it. Because it doesn't work if you don't do it. It makes you smile. Say ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. He, he, he. When your kids are mad, make them do that. It makes them laugh every time. It works every time. See, you're smiling now. That's what we should be because he's God. We should be walking, smiling, happy people, not depressed and frustrated and frowned and like, oh, why would I want to be a Christian? She's like a sourpuss over there. I believe that we are walking vessels of God's manifested goodness. I love that. This is what our lives are for, to carry out his purpose on earth as full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a story for you. You guys want to hear a story? Spurgeon wrote this story and I had to rewrite it because he kind of wrote in Old English. So just bear with me. I'm not exactly a writer, but I had to rewrite it for you. And this is how it goes. A musician was hired by the king to play and sing songs that honors and brings peace and joy to the king at his party. As the musician began to play the strings of the harp and a beautiful melody played throughout the room, the king was excited to hear the words for such a beautifully written song. As the words were spoken, he realized they were all about the musician. He was singing his own praise. He went on and on about his gifts and his talents and his accomplishments. When he was done, he approached the king and asked for his pay. The king responded, "Pay yourself, for you sang for yourself. So I will not pay you, but you can pay yourself." He was angry with the king's demand. "Give me my gold." The king replied to him, "You are so prideful that you sang your own praises only for yourself. I will not pay you." Are we people that are singing our own praises? Or are we people that are going to sing the praises of God's glory? You see, we carry out what people don't see. This world is not pouring out goodness. Because you know where goodness comes from? God. God's glory, the definition of God's glory is God's manifested goodness. That means you are ambassadors of God's goodness. So when you're not doing your job, your purpose on this earth as an inheritant daughter, daughter of the Most High God, then who's putting the goodness of God out there for everyone? You know what happens? The devil starts to wreak his own havoc. We give him more room. We give him place in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. We give him place in our workplace. We give him place in our homes. When we are not displaying the goodness of God's glory and we become these selfish people, we all of a sudden are stopping the blessings and the purpose and the call of God on our lives. You see, we are here on this earth not to build our own names. But we are here to build the name of Jesus. That's who you are. That's who you are. So did you get something from God today? Who do you think you are? Can we go through it real quick? Say, "I am a Christ kid." Woohoo! I've inherited the kingdom. I was planned ahead. I have a purpose. And I am the celebration of his goodness. That's who you are, beautiful daughter. Amen and amen. Well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to dismiss you to your table.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.